Discouragement, church, is a key weapon of Satan's arsenal. You go, how so? Think back the last time you were discouraged. What great work did you accomplish when you were discouraged? What difficulty did you defeat? How was your marriage improved? How was your relationship with your kids strengthened? How was your relationship with God strengthened? You know the answer? Nothing good occurred while discouraged, and Satan knows this. In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Thank you for tuning in to this Hope Restored series. Last time, we discovered that one of the enemy's greatest weapons is internal discouragement. Today in Nehemiah chapter 4, 15 through 23, we learn how God's people responded. They didn't quit. Nehemiah recognizes the work. Everyone has a tool for building and a weapon for defending. The trumpet remains close by, reminding the people that if the battle comes, they won't face it alone. One phrase stands out. From chapter 4, verse 20, "Our God will fight for us." Nehemiah understood that victory wasn't found in human strength, but in faithful dependence on the Lord. Discouragement doesn't have to stop God's work when we remember who is fighting alongside of us. Pastor Ben discusses where discouragement comes from, but also how to overcome it. Courage isn't the absence of fear. Courage is continuing to work because you know God is with you. Where do you need to stop focusing on your own strength and begin trusting that God is fighting for you? Today, Pastor Ben covers Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 15 through 23, and the lesson titled, Building and Battling Go Hand in Hand. So if you can, grab your Bibles and follow along in today's lesson. Here's Pastor Ben.
And when I started thinking about discouragement, being discouraged, most, if not all people, have to deal with discouragement from time to time. A lot of times, discouragement comes from ideals. I thought I'd be this at 28. I thought I'd be this at 35. I thought I'd have this at 40. I thought I'd, you know, and we have ideals, and when that doesn't happen. And my heart really breaks for those who have these great ideals and life seems to just, you know, what does Rocky say? Just knock them down. And when they get up, just hit them back. And it breaks my heart for that. But Rocky says, right? What does Rocky say? He said, it's not how hard you can get hit, or how hard you hit, but you can get hit and keep getting up and keep moving forward. And that's the Christian walk. How many times? There's just too many events that happen in our lives that can sap the strength and the motivation from us. Webster defines discouragement this way: to deprive of courage or confidence, to dishearten, to hinder by disfavoring, to deter, to attempt to dissuade, to attempt to dissuade. Experts say, you go, who are these experts? Experts say that 100% of the human population encounters discouragement, and no human can escape. At some point in his or her lifetime, there always is a period of discouragement. Can I get a good amen? And that amen is not like, yeah, it's like, I get you, Ben. I got you. You're keep on, keep on. And so we have to ask ourselves this evening, what are those sources of discouragement? First on the list of discouragement, discourages, honestly, is our health and or looks. You go, really? Yeah, you know, it's those aches and pains, or maybe it's the way we look. We're not happy about that. We look in the mirror and you go, hey, man, I really need to lose some pounds. I feel like I'm not confident at all. And we get discouraged. We look at what's going on, and, you know, this weekend I had the opportunity to visit a friend's church that was an offshoot at Calvary Chapel. And so it's called Blaze Christian Fellowship. And a lot of people who went to Calvary Chapel when we went there in Santa Fe 30 years ago, and a lot of them are old looking, a lot older. And I was like, man, I knew them when we were young. I think a lot of them are discouraged. I hope they don't look at me and be like, man, But isn't it true? When we look in the mirror, we get discouraged. We want to look better. We want to feel better. And that can bring discouragement. You go, amen, pastor, move on. Okay. Discouragement happens too when you're hurting, right? Aches and pains. It's like when you get up in the morning and you have to sit on the bed for a minute, make sure everything's working before you get up. Because if you just get up, you don't know where it's going to happen. Your back starts to hurt. Maybe your ankle's messed up and you have to limp a little bit. I don't know. It's those aches and pains, but that brings discouragement. I'm going to move on because Soph's looking at me like, you better move on, bro. No. You know, a second on the list of discouragement is one's job or one's career. And I can see that. Perhaps it's discouraging. You go, why? Because of the people you have to work with. There's a lot of non-spiritual people who have no problem cussing or making fun of Christian or Christianity, and you've got to work with them every single day. What happened to you? I gave my life to Jesus. Oh, you're one of those? Yeah, I'm one of those. And then the mocking and the ridicule and all that comes on, and that can be discouraging at your job. You guys know, at your job, there are people who don't take kindly to you being a believer. For no reason, like Sanballat or Tobiah, for no reason. Oh, I just don't like her. Why don't you like her? I don't know. You don't know? I don't know. Okay. If it's your job or your career, it may be discouraging because of the conflicts of one's desire to really serve God. And for example, the job might conflict with worship times. And you're like, are you kidding me? I've seen so many people come through here who get saved and they need a job, and we're praying for a sister's job right there, but they need jobs, and it's funny, the only jobs they have are during service times. Well, we need you Sunday mornings if you want the job, or Wednesday night. And here's how it starts. They promise you, no, we won't ask you. No, we don't do Sundays. And you can be off by 5 until you get in there, and all of a sudden it's like, can you stay to 5:30? Can you stay to 6? Can you stay to 8 tonight? This guy didn't show up. And then church is gone. And this is how they do it. And that can be discouraging. Also, a cause of discouragement can be because it is a dead-end job for you and you feel trapped because you're making a little bit more money and you're like, man, I don't really like what I'm doing. Let me just say this to you. I want to develop a heart that a job is a mission field for where God has me. And that's the mission field where you go out and you are, this is what God does. God says, listen, you're going to come in here. You're going to be taught the word of God. You're going to take what you've learned, and then you're going to be out there. And you're going to meet people who won't come into church. And you're going to be the ministers. And this is what God does. He calls all of us into the ministry so that we do that. And so I often say, we're praying for a mission field. We're praying for a mission field. And I'll tell you why. Because as much as God moves mightily in our services here, and as much as God just blesses us with people getting saved, we have to do our part out there as well. So we have to go, okay, Lord, is my school a mission field? Is my job a mission field? Sometimes we're frustrated. We go, man, I can't wait to leave this job, but God won't give me my release. And I'll never forget, there was a family that when we moved to Missouri, we moved to Cape Girardeau, Missouri, and I moved for a job, and there was a family who lived behind us, a beautiful family that I befriended and just witnessed to him, just witnessed and shared. And he was entrenched, if you will, in their religion. You guys know what I'm talking about, entrenched. And it took a lot. It took a lot of friendship, a lot of basketball games, took a lot of going to Sonic at night and having a cherry limeade and all this stuff. But what happened eventually is my friend Chris got saved, and it took 4 years. And when Chris and his family and he confessed the Lord, that's when the Lord said, okay, you're done here. It's time for you to move back. And my mission field in Cape Girardeau, Missouri was over. It was done. Now, I wish I could tell you, I went in there with the mission field. I didn't, but I realized it was a mission field during the time I was there. But we can see that maybe a dead-end job, you feel trapped. A third major source of discouragement is other people. You go, other people, like what? Well, I call them non-family members. Do you guys remember? Look at Nehemiah. Go back a little bit to verses 1-3. I'm going to read it in the New Living. So if you have a New King James, hold on to that. But it says, Sanballat was very angry when he learned we were rebuilding the wall. And he flew into a rage and he mocked the Jews, saying in front of his friends and the Samaritan army officers, "What does this bunch of poor, feeble Jews think they're doing? Do they think they can build a wall in a single day just by offering a few sacrifices? Do they actually think they can make something of stones from a rubbish heap and charred one at that?" Tobiah, the Ammonite, who was standing beside him, remarked, "That stone wall collapse if even a fox walked in it to the top of it." Let me give you, guys, if you're taking notes, jot these down, three connect points, okay? We're still talking about discouragement, but you might be discouraged. Number one, you might be discouraged because your hard work, because you work as hard as they do, and they're prospering while you're floundering. You might be discouraged because you're working super hard. You're working just as hard as anybody else. And now you're going, "Man, the guy at work, he seems to be catching all the breaks. He seems to be getting all the promotion. He seems to be," and that might be a point of discouragement. Number two, you might be discouraged because others fail to appreciate what you do. And number three, you might be discouraged because you are unable to meet their unrealistic expectations. Discouragement. Fourth, our family can be discouraging to us. Perhaps one wife or husband is not fulfilling God's plan for them in the marriage, or our children may be creating problems that have added stress and worry. Parents can get discouraged when their children do not respond to the teaching and the training. Think about this. Chapter 4, verse 10a says, "Then Judah said, 'The strength of the laborers is failing, and there is much rubbish, and we're not able to build the wall.'" Guys, we've just tried everything with our children. One of the things that we as a church need to be praying for, guys, is the prodigals, the prodigal children who have left walking with Jesus. We have those, and we should be on our knees praying, but it can also be a deep discouragement. All I ever hear from people is how they just want their family to walk and to serve and to walk with Jesus. That's all. I want my kids to walk. I want my kids to be saved. And the strength of the laborers, man, it's failing. It's not happening. Fifth, sometimes we ourselves are our own greatest discouragement causers. You go, whoa, what do you mean? Well, this happens when we don't accomplish things in our lives that we think we should accomplish. I can tell you, and Soph is my witness, when it comes to ministry, we really thought we would be a lot farther along after 20-some years than we are, and it can be discouraging. Lord, are you serious? I mean, and oftentimes, I can't tell you how many times we pray, "What are we doing wrong, Lord? What's going on?" I mean, there was a building, and I can't tell you how many times I've taken the elders and the leaders, "Hey, there's this building, let's pray." No, thank you, Calvary. And again, we're our own discouragement causers. We think we should have accomplished more. And I wonder what that looks like in your life. "I really should be farther along than I am," when we really need to trust in the sovereign Lord and what he's doing. Now, let me just say this, and it's a Wednesday night crowd. I love you guys to death. I know God wants to do more with us than what he's doing. I know he does. I can tell you that this past week while we were, you know, taking care of my in-laws, not that they're sick or anything, but their main caregiver, Nathalie's brother, was out of the country, if you will. So we went up there and just kind of made sure nobody fell and all that stuff. But my wife asked me, she goes, "Hey, there's a Restore. Can we go see the Restore?" And you know what Restore is? It's for Habitat for Humanity. And they have all these, they just resell dishes and all this stuff. And what's interesting is that I was like, "Yeah, let's go check it out." So we drive up to a Restore, and it's in a building that used to be the Calvary Chapel Santa Fe building. And so we walk in the front doors, and I'm looking and I'm going, I've seen this before. This is the Calvary. And the stage was still there, and they've built some walls, and they've built but the stage is still there. You look behind the sound booth, you could tell where the sound booth, and I just got sad. Now, you go, "Why were you sad?" Because, guys, we were part of that Calvary that ended up, that the enemy took down and destroyed. And now It's a resale building. And I said, Lord, what happened? Perhaps, church, we fall short of our dreams and our aspirations, or perhaps we beat ourselves up by doing and saying things that we later regret and we're discouraged. We have lots of sources that are discouragement. But let me give you the correct answer. The answer is Satan. You go, oh yeah, for sure. Captain Obvious. Why? None of the above factors have in themselves the power to discourage. Others have encountered equal or worse problems than you, but have not become discouraged by them. Discouragement, church, is a key weapon of Satan's arsenal. You go, how so? How so? Think back the last time you were discouraged. Think back. What great work did you accomplish when you were discouraged? What difficulty did you defeat? How was your marriage improved? How was your relationship with your kids strengthened? How was your relationship with God strengthened? You know the answer? Nothing good occurred while discouraged, and Satan knows this. So what do you think he does? Discouragement. This is the word of God. Discouragement to us is the mental paralysis. Satan knows that a discouraged man is not a man who will accomplish great things. That's the source. You go, Ben, what is the causes of discouragement? By way of reminder, first and foremost, it's fatigue. That's the cause of discouragement. And Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing. You go, what does that mean? In other words, they say they are worn out and tired. Now, here's the thing. There's a lot of things that wear us out and tire us. You go, amen. But it should never, ever tire us in the place where we come to fellowship and be in God's word. I understand there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things. But when it comes to God's word, when it comes to worship, when it comes to your fellowship, you go, why? Listen to me. Every one of you has been given a beautiful gift to use within the body of Christ. And when you're not here, that gift isn't here. You go, no, what do you mean? It could be as simple as a smile. It could be as simple as a high five, a hug. It could be any of these things, but these gifts are used to encourage the body of Christ. And it's not the pastor behind the pulpit. It's the body of Christ doing what it's supposed to do. And so get your rest. Get your rest. Where do you think the enemy wants to come at you? Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings. I'm tired. Oh, it's been, you know, when is it, Eva, when does the enemy attack? Saturday night, right? You're tossing and turning, fighting with the blankets. And then you finally get to sleep and it's 5 a.m. And that's exactly what the enemy does. We got to get our rest. The second thing, cause of discouragement, is focus. They were focused on the rubbish. They were focused on the discouragement. You know what? They're like, look what, look, there's only, the walls are only half built. We're never going to get this done. Man. Number three, fortitude. We talked about fortitude. You go, what's that? Misplaced confidence. When you lose your strength and your focus, the next thing to go is confidence. Hey, you ready to go, guys? Nah, I don't think it's going to work. I don't think it's going to work. And last but not least, you've heard this, it's fear. And fear has a way of crippling us. Fear happens when we're focusing on the threats of the enemy. Unfortunately, we do not emerge from periods of discouragement unscathed. Discouragement can hurt us, and sometimes it permanently scars us. So know the source, know the causes, but let's learn how to deal with that. How to deal with discouragement? Discouragement doesn't have to be a commonplace in our lives. You go, amen. We can defeat it, amen, but it requires a plan of attack. Here are some suggestions in dealing and defeating encouragement. Number one, jot this down, unity among the people. Unity in our church, locking arms hand in hand. Nehemiah chapter 4 and 13 says this, therefore I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the opening. And I set people according to their families with their swords and their spears and their bows. You go, Ben, what did Nehemiah do? What did Nehemiah do? He brought the people together in family groups so that they would be working together as families. And he placed them in strategic spots along the wall that they're building. What did he do? He got the people together. He said, listen, every one of us in this church has gone through something, and we need to uplift and be encouraging to other people, not tearing them down. We're not going to be the guys behind the wall going, this is never going to work. I don't know what you're doing. You need to go, no, 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 no. I've got your back. This is what he's saying. There needs to be unity among the people. We should be believers that encourage. Come on, man. Let me lift you up. How you doing? When you ask, Matt, how are you doing? I'm doing great. No, no, no. How are you really doing, bro? I want to encourage you. You're an encouragement to me, Matt. You're Brielle, you're an encouragement to me. You guys are here. You're like an anomaly, man. And just encourage him to keep it going. Why? You don't understand. He gets attacked. He gets discouraged. There's all the stuff going on in his life. But where is he? He's in church. He's trying to lead. You understand the illustration. No, man, you don't need to be discouraged. If you just read the Bible like I do, you'd be like me. That's not encouraging at all. Why? Every one of us have been different places. Every one of us discouraged at one point to encourage others. You can do it, brother. You can do it. Amen. Unity among the people. Unity in our church. Holding hands. Doing life together. I expected a bigger amen there. I don't know why, but come on. Amen. The second thing, guys, the second way to deal with discouragement is Nehemiah redirected their attention back to the Lord. Nehemiah 4:14 says, remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. You see, the problem is that they were focused on the rubbish, and that's all they could see. And I can testify to that. There are times in my life that all I ever focused was on the rubbish. Church, will you do me a favor? Would you pray to start seeing people the way God sees them and not the way you see them? What does God want to do with people? What does God want to do with you? See a man victorious, walking in Jesus. The problem was, is all they could see was the rubbish. All they could see was the rubbish. You know what they failed to see, guys? The wall was already half done. Half done. Here's the application. There are times that we need to do the same thing. You go, what's that? Get our eyes off the rubbish that surrounds us. Get your eyes back on God. Remember those times when you realize who he is and how great he is. Our God created the world. He hung the stars and the moon in space, and he gave us breath of life. And this same God promised to watch over and care for us all the days of our life. Listen to me. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. He has all of these promises. So my encouragement to you, if you're in a state of discouragement, turn your eyes upon Jesus. That's what he's saying. Nehemiah said, guys, get your eyes off the wall. Look at the Lord. Look at the Lord. In Christ.
That brings us to the end of this episode of In Christ. Thank you for tuning in as we go verse by verse through Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace and is in the same time of Ezra. Nehemiah leads the third and last return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, and his concern for the welfare of Jerusalem and its inhabitants prompt him to take bold action. Granted permission to return to his homeland, Nehemiah challenges his countrymen to arise and to rebuild the shattered wall of Jerusalem. In spite of opposition from without and abuse from within, the task is completed in only 52 days, a feat even the enemies of Israel must attribute to God's enabling. By contrast, the task of reviving and reforming the people of God within the rebuilt walls demands years of Nehemiah's godly life and leadership. So be sure to join us next time as we continue to dive in to the wonderful character of Nehemiah, how he cared about traditions past, the needs of the present, but also the hopes for the future. We look forward to seeing you in the next one. If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast, with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.